about the sheets about those.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Waxman, and the pleasure is, as they say, really all mine, and I'm very happy to be here this first week, but Imer Hashem as a regular every Thursday through the rest of the year. When I was discussing with Rabbi Waxman what to offer as the chug, so the variety of discussions, both about what the yeshiva needed as well as what would work out in my schedule, and what we decided to do was to have the following, a little bit of a combination. This month, and for most of the shiurim, in which there are months that are leading up to holidays, Yom Tovim, so the series is called Mo'adim B'Halacha. We'll be discussing different sugyos in Halacha that relate to the upcoming Chag. The purpose of this, of course, as I'm sure you know, the Gemara tells us that when we prepare, whether it's Shloshim Yom, a little less, a little bit more, but when you prepare for a Yontif by learning the sugyos and the halachos beforehand, so the experience of that Yontif is clearly different than if one just comes in having not prepared. So as long as I can help it, this year you will be prepared. We'll be learning important central sugyos for each of the Yom Tovim. We have three shiurim before you go on break for Rosh Hashanah and Bein Hazmanim. I discussed with Rabbi Waxman, we'll do one shiur this week on a sugya of Rosh Hashanah. Next week, please God, on Yom Kippur. And the week after that, a sugya on Sukkot. So that for the whole Bein Hazmanim, at least one central important sugya, you'll have hopefully some good yedios in. There are months, of course, like Mar Cheshvan in particular, there are months in the calendar where there is no imminent yontif. And for those, kind of be determined, but we'll do some kind of important, hopefully interesting, cool, halachic topic, probably in somehow connected to the Parsha. Instead of just being random about it, we'll probably pick halachic sugyos that are connected to the Parsha. I have had this chus at least of teaching Adam previously, and he recalls, I think that was not loud enough. It's Adam. So I've... The pizza is very new, I might add. But the Ben Adam L'Chavero, that is an old Shalvim hallmark. But I've had a chance to teach Adam in the past, and he's heard some of my shurim on halachic topics in the Parsha. So we'll jump around from that, but primarily be focused on the Yontif, the Mo'adim B'Halacha. It is a little bit later than we'll usually be starting, and I don't want to keep you from dinner. So since we're a little bit shortened, we'll do our best to hopefully cover most, if not all, of the sheet, and hopefully have a good discussion and help you gain insight into Rosh Hashanah. Just to point out what I hope would be obvious anyway, I'm happy to go straight, but I'd be more than happy to take questions. So if at any point someone has a question of something you don't understand, or something that you think differently than I said, please feel free to participate. It would be my pleasure. The topic I picked for the opening shiur about Rosh Hashanah, and again, there are obviously so many things we could have talked about, but I kind of assume that shiurim on shofar and tshuva you'll be getting. A topic which is not studied that often, but I think is very important, is the topic I chose for this evening, in a halachic sense, the question of whether there is a mitzvah to be happy, of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. On a broader, deeper sense, we're really, as you'll see throughout the shiur, I hope, getting to the heart, to the essence of what our attitude, what our mindset, what our emotions should be on Rosh Hashanah. Most Yomim Tovim, we know, it's obvious that there is a mitzvah of simcha, and even in a hashkafic sense, of course, we rejoice. Whether it's a holiday on a d'oraisa level like Sukkot or Pesach, Shavuos, Chanukah, Purim, I mean, you know, these are the happiest days on our calendar. Yom Kippur is a little bit more to a different extreme, although there's a lot to talk about there also. But Rosh Hashanah in particular is a very complex and complicated yontif. And hopefully we can peel back a little bit of those layers and get a little bit of an understanding halachically, hashkafically, into the essence of Rosh Hashanah, and I hope we'll demonstrate that there are quite a few practical halachic issues, nafkamina lamaisa, which will flow from this discussion. In fact, let's begin with the most famous, and on some level, most practical of the issues, and that is the following question. Must one eat on Rosh Hashanah? I'm not asking if you want to eat. I'm not asking if the meals in the yeshiva count as food. Those are separate questions. but must one, from a halachic perspective, must one eat? To reframe the question, again, something that I'm sure most of you know, every other yontif, of course, obviously, but Yom Kippur, every Shabbos, there is an absolute chiyuv, an obligation to eat. How many meals, what to eat, that's a separate discussion. But you absolutely have to eat. It's a mitzvah, mid araisa. The question is, what about Rosh Hashanah? Do you have to eat? Are you allowed to fast? What's the halacha? So in fact, this was a huge debate in the time of the Gaonim. It's not explicit in any Gemara. And the Rishonim who discuss it are really already quoting an earlier discussion of the generation before them, a debate in the Gaonim. And like all of the subsequent topics we'll discuss tonight as well, there's a lot more than I could put on a sheet, and I don't know if it was logic, I should have or shouldn't have, but in my mind I wanted to make sure there was no more than one double-sided sheet. So I was cutting and pasting to just get it onto the right page. But for anyone who's interested, I'm happy to give you a lot more marmakamos on these issues. But to give you a sample of the machlokes, let's take a look at the first three sources on the sheet in Os Aleph. The Mordechai quotes that they asked the question to Rav Nachshon Gaon. Mahu l'nisanos Rosh Hashanah? Very direct. Can you fast on Rosh Hashanah? Must you fast? Are you allowed to fast? Beheshiv Rosh Hashanah asur l'nisanos. Because Rav Nachshon, it's prohibited. No different than any other yontif. Bein midivrei Torah, bein midivrei Kabbalah, bein midbraisa, bein midtalmuda. Whether you want to think about it logically, whether you're looking for Maror Mekomos, in Gemaras, and in Psukim, in Tanakh, as we'll see, many reasons says Rav Nachshon Gaon why it's prohibited to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Midivrei Torah minayin, lefishu kolul, I'm in the middle of the second line, imshar moados, v'ksiv ve'mikrei kodesh. The Torah, whether it's in Emor or in Pinchas, when it's discussing the Parshas HaMoadim, listing Sukkot and Shavuos and Pesach, also lists Rosh Hashanah and refers to it in the halachic terminology as a Mikra Kodesh, as a holy time. Furthermore, it points out, going on to the last line, when the Jewish people came back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to build the second Beis HaMikdash, on that Rosh Hashanah, why exactly, what was special about that year, you have to go to a Tanakh Chabura for, but there, the Psukim in the 8th Perek of Ezra Nehemiah, Sefer Nehemiah, speak about the Navi explicitly commanding the people, Lechu echlu mishmanim shesumim takim, don't just eat, but eat delicious, yummy, sweet food, share your food with people, ki kadosh Hashem, ayom, because it's a kadosh day. So says of Nachshon Gaon, how could you consider fasting? Would you imagine fasting on Sukkot? Again, I don't know about you, but I would never even be tempted to fast. But we're not speaking now about your stomach or psychology. We're talking about, strictly speaking, from a halachic perspective. And it's absurd to imagine that you'd fast on any other holiday. Says Rav Nachshon Gaon, it's just as absurd and just as inappropriate to fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's the first shita. It's asur, period. It's an interesting question, but very boring in a sense, or straightforward, unsurprising answer. Take a look at the Rosh. The Rosh was a contemporary of the Mordechai. Perhaps if we had more time, we'll give you a little bit of the biography. They both had tragic lives running away from the Crusades. The Mordechai, more tragic, he was killed. The Rosh was able to survive and emigrate. But you see, this is what was going on in their time, in their Beis Medrash. This is a topic that they were discussing. And the Rosh also quotes, but the Rosh has a more complex discussion. It's much longer than the little bit that I gave you here. But just to give you the highlights, the Rosh quotes here at the end of the first line from a different one of the Gaonim, Rav Nachshonai Gaon, who has a different shot. He says, it depends. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, so that's Mikra Kodesh, that's a Araisa holiday, so that's no different than Sukkot and Pesach. Of course you can't fast. But he says, on the second line, when it comes to the second day, Aval B'Yom Tov Sheni, Nohagin Rabu Seinu Leishev Behen Batinus. There are those who were Nohag. They had the practice to fast. Whether it was on Chol, or even a bigger Chiddush at Rosh Hashanah, like this year, if I'm not mistaken, came out on Shabbos. Now, as it happens, the Rosh concludes from Rav Hai Gaon that he disagrees with that. Lo Lihisanos. And Rav Nachshon, again, like the Mordechai, Osir Lihisanos. But aside from the fact that we have this chiluk between day one and day two, which is intriguing but not something we have time to examine, what you see from the Rush, if you read it carefully enough, is an interesting, very difficult to understand, and perhaps we'll have time at the end to try to explain it, middle shita. And that is not that it's prohibited, but it's also not a mitzvah to fast, it's not Yom Kippur. It's what we would call in halachic terminology a devar rishus. There are those who are nohag to do it. And I'll take a question in 1 second. In fact, there are other rishonim, again I didn't put it on the sheet, or even more explicit in the name of some gaonim, rishus biyado. Now he happens to say that it's only on the second day. He holds it's usur on the first day. There are other gaonim who even hold it's mutter, meaning you can. You don't have to, but you can. It's a rishus. It's mutter to fast, even on the first day. So leave aside the first day or the second day. Here we have this new position that says, you don't have to fast, but it's mutter. It's a rishus. The first opinion said it was usur. The second opinion said it's a rishus. I'll take your question in 1 second. Let's just round it out. The Trumas Hadeshen, there's a day like this also in the Beis Yosef, but I think it's more clear in the Trumas Hadeshen. He quotes from anonymous Gaonim, Kamu Rabba Vosa Sfir Luhu, the mitzvah lehisanos. Mikatzeh lekatzeh, from one extreme to the other. The first sheet is it's usur. And we saw middle position, okay, it's mutter, it's a rishus, you can, you don't have to, but you can. And now we have the whole other extreme, says the Trumas Hadeshen, the third source on your sheet, it's a mitzvah to fast. Now again, the mitzvah does not mean it's a chil, it's not an aveira to eat. But you would fulfill a mitzvah if you fasted. That's not clear at all in the Rush. The Rush said, no, again, you could do it. The Trumas Hadeshen, and as I said, the Beis Yosef, Kodeos, the third approach, it's a mitzvah to fast. Three approaches. You can only, if I would have asked you the Shaila, can you fast or not? So you would have told me there are three possible answers. Yes, no, and maybe. And in fact, that's the three answers that you have in the Rishon. Yes, no, and maybe. Or Rishos. Yes. It's a very good question. Again, if I had more time, it would be worth thinking about how that's possible. But really it gets to, when you have Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, so which is like the primary identity? Because you're right, if you look at it as Shabbos, it would be, you would think it's usur to fast. Apparently, according to those opinions, the identity, at least when it comes to the shaila of eating, of Rosh Hashanah, is dominant. And therefore, that can push away the fact that midin Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to. Now, that's a very intriguing thing, and I could easily see people debating that. But apparently, that's what he held. But again, let's not lose sight of day one and day two, or Shabbos, because we don't have time for that. That's complicated. Let's look at it in the most simple way. Fasting or not, three-way machlokas. Mutter, Asur, and Mitzvah. How do we paskin? Baruch Hashem, the Shulchan Aruch tells us. I was nervous before I saw the Shulchan Aruch. Yom Kippur and some Gedalia are enough. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Not only that, it's Asur to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, the first source. Ochlim v'shosim v'smeichin, eat, drink, and be merry. The Ein Misan and Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to fast. Good. So now we know how to paskin. So let me ask you a question. The practical question, the Lamaisa Shaila we've been discussing is straightforward. Eat or not eat. But what's the deeper issue? Why would one of the Gaonim, why would some of the Gaonim feel you should fast? Why might some of the Gaonim feel it's usur and terrible and scandalized? How could you fast? What's the deeper issue? What's the, not even so deep, but at least a little bit deeper, sharish of this machlokas? It's almost explicit in some of the words we read, certainly in the Shulchan Aruch. But who wants to just bring it out? What are they debating? Yes? Exactly. I'm sure the other two of you were going to say the same thing. What seems to be, and a number of Achronim point this out, there's a Shagis Aryeh and others who make this point explicitly, that the deeper issue going on here gets to, as I said at the beginning of this year, the heart, the essence of what is, what kind of day is Rosh Hashanah. Does it have the same Chi of Simcha? Is it a happy, celebratory day? So you might think, as the Rosh and the Mordechai said, it's in the same parsha in the Torah, Mikra Kodesh. Maybe it does. And if that's the case, we would understand the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Usher to fast. In fact, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, the last source in this section. Mishnah Berurah says explicitly, why do those go on and why does the Shulchan Aruch say usher to fast? Mikol makom mitzvah shel v'samachta b'chagecha shayich gam bo. Because the mitzvah of simcha of every other yontif, shayich gam bo, is relevant to Rosh Hashanah. So if it's that obvious, and if that's so clear, why those shittos hold you can't fast, so begs the question, why would other shittos say you can fast? And what seems to be the obvious point, it wasn't explicit, but we can make the jump on our own, is that they hold that in fact there is no mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. And why not, you'll ask? But again, I think we could make that jump on our own as well. Because Rosh Hashanah is clearly a complicated day. And if we're sensitive to Rosh Hashanah, this is a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension. It's a day of judgment. Who's going to live and who's going to die? This isn't just a fun time like Pesach or Sukkot. Our lives, financial lives, everything. Is it going to be a good year in Shalavim year or not? Am I going to learn? Am I going to be successful? Hakol nidon b'Rosh Hashanah. The economic situation is affecting so many of our families. Is it going to get better next year or not? Hakol nidon b'Rosh Hashanah. I have an elderly grandparent. Are they going to be with us next year or not? Hakol nidon b'Rosh Hashanah. It's a nervous, tension-filled day. And therefore, some Gaonim say, you know what? Getting back to the point I mentioned to you before about Shabbos. That dimension, that character of the day, of the tension, of the fear of the judgment, that overwhelms the simcha. That overwhelms the other part, the yontif part. And therefore, from their perspective, it's fundamentally a more nervous, more somber, more serious day. Therefore, fasting is very appropriate. It may not be an absolute chiyuv like Yom Kippur, but it's close. It may even be a mitzvah. Yeah.
But even if there's no mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah, you can understand that there might be a heter of fasting. But I don't understand why you say
that. It's interesting you say that, because one of the things which I hope I'll get to was that years ago, 1993, my first year back in America after Shalavim, I was by Mori Virabi, Rav Rosenzweig, and he, when he quoted this topic, he was very bothered by the middle shita. How could it be a rishus? If you tell me there's a mitzvah, okay, we know there are mitzvahs. But if you tell me there's no mitzvah to fast, so what happened to Mikra Kodesh? How can I ignore that? If you hold a strong mitzvah approach, so apparently it's because you hold it, that's the proper attitude. You'll see we're going to get to some topics like, for example, should you be crying in Rosh Hashanah? Is it that kind of day? There are some poskim who say yes. Whereas if you think it's that kind of a day, then fasting might be very appropriate. It might be a mitzvah to do it. But the Rishus one is actually really more intriguing, because Rishus seems to be like, almost, I'm not sure what kind of day it is. And, you know, in Halacha, we're sometimes not sure what the Halacha is, but we don't expect in the Gaonim that they would say, we're going to let you behave as if you're not sure. Right? So that's, but it's a good Ha'ara, but for now, let's leave it on the table. As this seems to be basic machlokas, it was clear in the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah makes the point, is there simcha or not? First practical nafkamina, eating or fasting. Let's look at a second one, briefly. Perhaps, as you get older, you'll be more attuned to this one. But the question of nusach in davening and in kiddush. There are certain things that, as you know, we add on yontif. Whether it's in kiddush, the words mikra kodesh, mo'adem l'simcha, v'hasienu, in the davening, Kiddush and davening have different nuschos when it's a mikra kodesh, when it's a happy day. Do we have those same nuschos, same davening changes and kiddush changes on Rosh Hashanah or not? And sure enough, the very same gaonim who argue about eating argue about what you should say during davening and kiddush. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it inside now, but take a look at the same rush. And the Ran as well, also in Rosh Hashanah, have a discussion where they summarize the Gaonim. Some Gaonim say you make the changes just like you would on Sukkot or Pesach or Shavuos. And other Gaonim say you don't make the changes. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin? The Machaber says, we don't. Eino Omer. We do not say, Mo'adim l'simcha, Chagan Mizman l'sason, Hasienu, etc. We don't do it. Another interesting one, getting back to Shabbos, look at the next Shulchan Aruch. We know that Shabbos Mincha, right, you're all familiar with this, Shabbos Mincha every week of the year, Kimat, right, after Chazar Sashatz, right before we go into Shal Shittis, what do we say? Tzidkos L'Tzedek. Tzidkos L'Tzedek, if you're familiar with the words, you look in English, the Shabbos, it's a Tzidkos Kadin, where it's dealing even on a weekly basis, it's obviously less intense than on a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're dealing with Hashem's judgment of us. The question is that appropriate or not? So it depends. Is this a real din-focused day? Is that going to affect the davening? Or do we say no? And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. The Mechaber himself says, Rosh Hashanah and Shechalios for Shabbos, Omrim Tzidkasla. And the Ramah says no. Lo lomra, b'chein anu nogim en Ashkenaz. And again, the fact that it was the same Gaonim make it very obvious to us that we have again the same Machlokas. If you hold that the fundamental character of the day is the happiness and the celebrations from Kar Kodesh, so we're going to adjust the davening, just like we adjust davening for Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot. But if you hold that fundamentally, this is maybe in the same parsha in the Torah, but Rosh Hashanah is very different than the other Yomim Tovim, so even though we may change the Nusach for our other Yontif, we're not necessarily going to change it for Rosh Hashanah, because it's not that kind of a day. It's not so happy. It's more nervous. It's more tzidkasla focused, more din focused. And as the Mishnah Berurah once again makes the point clearly, last source there, Kevin Chu Yom Adin, that's going to affect if you see it as Yom Adin. But if you look at more as Yom Simcha, it's a competition, vying, if you will, for our attention. Is it more Yom Simcha, or is it more Yom Din? Two shilas now. Not only eating and fasting, but also davening. Anyone? No? Do we say Hallel? Another davening shiloh. Hallel Rosh Hashanah? The answer is no. But the shiloh is why not? So on the simple level, this would seem to be a proof, a raya, gemura, that it's not really such a happy day. In fact, there's a very famous gemara. Let's take a look at the gemara here on the bottom of the page. In Erechan and Daf Yud, the gemara says that the malachim, that the angels, asked Hashem, we want to sing shira to you. We want to sing to you. Just like we do on every other Yom Tov, we want to sing on Rosh Hashanah. And look at the last line on the first source sheet if you have. The last line, underlined, says the Gemara, that the Rabbanu Shalom himself says to the angels, Amar lahen, Efshar melech Yoshev al kiseh hadin. Could it be, hayitachein, that a king is sitting on his throne in judgment? Sifrei chayim v'sifrei mesim sukim lefonav. And the books of life and death are open in front of you. V'Yisrael omrim shir lefonai. And you're going to sing and dance like it's some party? I mean, have you no sense? You can almost hear the Gemara calling out, screaming. What's wrong with you? It's inappropriate. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom HaDin. We're hanging life and death. And you want to sing like it's just carefree, happy Sukkot? It's Yom HaDin. So on the simple level, this Gemara would seem to be very, very clear. And in fact, give me one second please, the Meiri, not only his commentary to the Gemara, but the Meiri also has an essay on Tshuva called the Chibur HaTshuva. The Meiri says this point exactly. Why don't we say a Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? She'ein roi b'zeh, I'm on the second side now. Ein roi b'zeh hazman l'or ha'levavos v'divrei simcha. This is not a time for happiness. Ela l'or libenu v'divrei kfushin v'nyonim mariim hateva. This is a day to be scared. To be scared for our lives that are hanging in the balance. It's not a day to be happy. If that's the understanding of the Gemara, it seems very definitive. What is interesting is how the Rambam paskens. The Rambam paskens, you don't say hello. It's an explicit Gemara. You can't do anything about that. But when the Rambam formulates the din of no hallel, I want you to tell me if you see a difference in what he says and what the Meiri just said. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, has a very famous piece where he lists all the days of the year where we say a full hallel. The real mitzvah. He says there's 18 days of the year, you know, right, where we say a full hallel. And he lists them. And among the ones that he lists, the ones that we do say, then the ones that we don't say. After that he says, Aval Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. Those 18 days we do say, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, ain't bad hallel. We don't say Halal. Now, nothing controversial yet. He's just quoting a Gemara. But then the Rambam adds the reason, which is not in the Gemara explicitly, the way the Rambam quotes it at least. Lefi shehein yemei tshuva v'yira v'fachad. There are very serious days, tshuva, we should be scared for our lives. And they are not lo yemei simcha yisera. They're not days of excessive joy. That's the key word. Key word. And the Rambam blushing. Exactly. Very good. Until that last point, the Rambam was just telling you the Gemara, just telling you the Meiri. But he adds the word Yisera. And Rav Pesach Frank quotes the name of the Briskarov, the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, that Reb Chaim was Medayik in this Rambam. He says, you see from the Rambam that he holds that there is Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. Just not excessive Simcha. Not as much as Sukkos, not as simple as Bez Shaweva on Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah night. We don't have a Rosh Hashanah version of the Sukkah Hop. We don't have Simchas Torah on Rosh Hashanah. It's a different holiday for sure. But it's not all or nothing. Ein Bal Simcha Yisera. Some Simcha, not enough for Hallel. Apparently need real Simcha for Hallel. But something. So if you hold like those Gaonim, that it's also the fast, and we change the Nusach of Davening, because you hold the Simcha, what do you do with the Hallel? The answer is you have to hold, presumably like the Rambam, Ein Bo Simcha Yisera. I think I have 10 minutes left? Or 15? End 17. Oh. Okay, so I'll go to 7:10. So I have 15 minutes. Excellent. More than enough time. So I mentioned before another Shiloh. So far, what are the three Shilohs? Eating or fasting was one. Nusach of Davening and Kiddush was two. Hallel was three. I mentioned before, though, to somebody, when I was answering a question, not what do I daven, but how do I daven? Really gets to the heart of the question. What's my attitude? What kind of day is Rosh Hashanah? So here we've come a few hundred years, we're not in the time of the Gaonim anymore, but in the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch, they quote a very fascinating, fascinating machlokas. Even before we get to that, there's a sefer called the Maisa Rav. The Maisa Rav is a collection, that's what they call an intellectual biography, if you will. It's a book of the hanhagos, the practices of the Vilna Gaon. It's not a biography just telling you all sorts of, you know, who his mother was and where he went to elementary school and stuff like that. But it's telling you the kind of things that the Vilna Gaon did that were unique, that were distinctive, and why he did them. And in the Maisa Rav, it quotes the following from the Vilna Gaon. I'm now on the fourth section, Os Dalet. Ein livkos Rosh Hashanah. No crying. Hashanah's not a sad day. What a crying. After all, as the Pasuk in Nehemiah said, Al Tifka, we don't cry. And says the Vilna Gaon, apparently that wasn't a unique thing with Nehemiah, they're coming back, the new second base of Mikdash. That's for all time, every Rosh Hashanah. Ein livkos. We're not crying in Rosh Hashanah. Now we already saw right above the Meiri was talking about being scared and sounded like crying. And moreover, if you take a look now in one of the commentaries of Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er Heitev, he quotes from the great mystical giant, the Arizal. The Arizal says just the opposite, 180 degrees, completely opposite of the Vilna Gaon. Says the Arizal, Nohag livkos for Shulchan Yom Kippur. First of all, number one, for your biography, if you're keeping stats at home, the Arizal cried. And number two, he continues more powerfully, V'omar, the Arizal used to say, Misha eino boche b'yomim elo, if you don't cry in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, ein nishmaso tova v'shleima. What kind of Jew are you? What kind of Jew? How sick, how impoverished must your soul be? How withered, how far away from Torah must your soul be? Says Arizal, if you wouldn't cry in Rosh Hashanah. Now we know that, in essence, those are fighting words. It's, who's he talking about? The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, don't cry! And the Arizal said, how could you not cry? It cuts out, completely opposite approaches. So we saw opposite approaches to whether you should eat or not. Opposite approaches to the Nusach of Tefillah. And here you have a real dramatic expression. Opposite. Completely opposite. Crying or not. And again, clearly, here we don't have to be such Christ alamdanim. We see it. What is going on here? clearly the same issue we've been talking about. It's mamish right beneath the surface. What kind of day is it? Is it a happy day, a simcha dika day, or is it a scary, tension-filled, anxiety-ridden day? Machlokas, the Gra and the Arizal, and the Gaonim, and the Mefarshim on the Hallel, etc., etc. You have a question? Okay. So I'm going to just briefly tell you four or five topics that I didn't even put on the sheet. But just so you should see how thorough and how broad this discussion is. Do you say Shechiyanu or not on Rosh Hashanah? Discussion of Gemara and Erevin and Mefarshim, yes and no. Some say it's a technical question, but some understand that that's also connected to our issue. Are you allowed to get married in Rosh Hashanah? And I've never been to a wedding. I've never seen a wedding in Rosh Hashanah. It would be a little bit weird to get an invitation that said, you know, come Rosh Hashanah. But, okay, leave aside the weird factor. Is it allowed? Midaraisi, you're not allowed to get married in another Yom Tovim. Samachta b'chagecha, lo b'ishtecha, you're not allowed to get married on another Yom Tovim. Does that prohibition, which says you cannot get married, it's usher to get married on Sukkot, Pesach and Shavuos, does that apply to Rosh Hashanah or not? Also a debate. So what I want to do in the last 12 minutes or so that we have, 15 minutes or so we have, is to give you a whole new insight, I hope, than we've previously been discussing. In other words, until now, we've seen a lot of different topics, a lot of different shilas from Makoros, but in terms of our analysis, we've been primarily looking at it as black and white. Is there simcha or not? Is it a happy day or not? Is it an anxiety, fearful day or not? But remember, when we started this year, we had that middle approach. It's a reshus. What did that mean? And I just said to you before, it's a very difficult thing to understand. A reshus to fast? There's no reshus to fast on Pesach. How could there be a reshus? What does that mean? Furthermore, if you recall, the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, you're not allowed to fast. You have to eat because we're happy. That was in the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham is one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. And take a look now in the fifth and final section of our source sheet. Two Magen Avrahams, back to back, one after the other, we'll see them both. The first thing that Magen Avraham quotes is from some earlier Achronim who didn't eat fish on Rosh Hashanah. So he'll say, I never eat fish, I hate fish. Exact opposite. Why did they eat fish on Rosh Hashanah? Because they loved it. It was their favorite food. Or another one which I can relate to more. I'm not a fish guy, but I am definitely a meat guy. And yet, quotes from earlier Achronim, Shlo Echol Basar, Velishtos Yayin. Now usually it's a mitzvah to eat meat on Yontif. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, there's a mitzvah to eat on Rosh Hashanah. And yet the Magen Avraham is saying, okay, mitzvah to eat. You don't have to eat the most delicious foods. You don't have to eat the most favorite foods. And again, we have to ask ourselves, what is going on here? This is weird. I'll tell you for the moment, trust me, but you don't have to trust me. Feel free to look it up. In any other area of Shulchan Aruch, of any other Yomim Tovim, not Rosh Hashanah, not Pesach, not Shavuos, not Sukkot, nowhere else do you have Nosi Kem Shulchan Aruch saying, of course you have to eat, it's Pesach, but don't eat your favorite foods. Of course you have to eat, but don't eat meat or drink wine. Only by Rosh Hashanah, something funny is going on. But again, I want to reiterate, this is not because of the Magen Avraham hold you can't eat. The Magen Avraham is accepting the Shulchan Aruch that you have to eat, which we fed because you have to have simcha. But if you have to have simcha, why aren't we eating our favorite foods? So what I want to bring out, and we don't have time to do all of the approaches justice, but I want to bring out to you is that there's a number of possibilities in between the two extremes that we've been charting. Yes, simcha, no simcha. Those two extremes clearly exist in the minds of some poskim. But there are quite a few middle positions which seem to exist as well, and I think they help us explain these kind of compromise psukim, or shustafat, fish, no fish, meat, no meat. Moreover, the Magen Avraham himself paskins. What if you were benching on Rosh Hashanah? You came home, had lunch, washed, of course, and you forgot to say Yalav Yavo. Ordinarily, on a Shabbos or a Yontif, where there's a chiyuv to eat, if you forget Yalav Yavo, you have to bench again. And the Shulchan Aruch said there's a chiyuv to eat on Rosh Hashanah. 1 + 1 = 2. So what would you think? If you forgot to say Yalav Yavo on Rosh Hashanah, since there was a chiyuv to eat lunch, you have to go back and repeat. Benching. Says the Magen Avraham, yeah, but since there are some Gaonim who hold that you don't eat, that you have to fast, So we could be somech, we could rely on them, you don't have to go back to the Alviyava. But again, it makes no sense. That made sense if you held there was no simcha, and then you don't have to eat. But the Magen Avraham is accepting the Shulchan Aruch paskens, you do have to eat. And the Shulchan Aruch didn't give you any reason to think it's different than other Yom Tovah. And again, the Magen Avraham has this kind of a weird, hybrid approach. So what's going on? Again, not for every, some of the Gaonim and some of the other Rishonim seem to be on the two extremes. But in the middle, there seems to be a lot going on. And a few possibilities. I'll tell two or three of them to you briefly, and then we'll end with a final approach, which I'll spend a few minutes developing. Briefly, one possibility, which we saw already in the Rambam, is, yes, there's Simcha, but not all Simchas created equal. Who said that if there's Simcha Rosh Hashanah, there has to be as much as another Yom Tovim? So perhaps, qualitatively, in essence, it's no different than the other Yom Tovim. It's Mikra Kodesh. But given the fact that it is Yom HaDin, it's Ein Bo Simcha, you said, is a little less. Maybe if there's a little less Simcha, that explains why there are some halachos which do or don't apply. That's a possibility which we don't have time to develop, but that's one possibility. There's another possibility. I'm not going to read it inside, we don't have time. But the Tur here quotes a very famous medrash that says that unlike people typically or other nations of the world, that when they know they're being judged, their life is hanging in the balance, they are scared and they're mourning and they wear dark clothing and they're too nervous to, you know. The Jewish people are just the opposite. What do we wear? We wear white. Right? Some people have a minhag dafka to wear a white yarmulke on Rosh Hashanah, and married men wear a kittel. We're excited, we're happy, it's a celebratory day. Because we have bitachon in our judgment. We're confident. As nervous as we are, we're confident it'll come out alright. The Tur quotes that medrash. So I saw from a number of Achronim, one of the early Achronim, the Chachma Shomer Shlomo Kluger, and in a slightly different way, much more recently in the 20th century, Yitzhak Kuttner, the Pachad Yitzhak, which I first became a fan of with Harav Waxman, who I had a Chavrusa with, before he became very busy and very important. He was only a little bit busy and a little bit important then. Fair? Okay, he was always very important. But he was less busy then. He had time to have a Chavrusa with him. So Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Hutner says in Rosh Hashanah Maamer Hey, if I'm not mistaken, a similar idea, the Chachma Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger, Shachan Aruch, and that is that yes, there's Simcha in Rosh Hashanah, but it's not qualitatively, it's a very different Simcha. It's not the Simcha of Mikra Kodesh, it's the Simcha of Bitachon Bedin. It's the Simcha of being confident. It's all about the judgment. But we thought judgment makes us scared. No, judgment can also make us happy. We're confident. The Medrash told us we can be confident in our judgment. That's another possibility. Just as an aside, for example, they give us a mashal. Are you allowed to fast? You have a bad dream. So there's an idea of a tainis chalom. You fast. What if you have a bad dream on Friday night? Can you fast on Shabbos? Some poskim say, no, you have to eat on Shabbos. Simcha on Shabbos. But some poskim use the term simcha hilo. For this person who's worried about this ominous dream that he had, he's not going to be happy having a delicious chalom. He's nervous about the dream. If you tell him he's allowed to fast, at least he feels okay. I'm dealing with the dream. For this one unique person, that talk is his simcha. So too could be, yes, there's simcha in Rosh Hashanah, but it's a very different simcha than the other Yom Tovim. It's a simcha that relates to judgment. But maybe there's more wiggle room because it's not a typical kind of a simcha. I want to conclude in about 5 minutes with something which I really would like to have had 20 minutes to share with you. And that is the approach going back now, as I said, to 1993, 15, 16 years ago, that I heard from Rav Rosenzweig. And I never saw it anywhere else. And I hold it's kedarko, breathtakingly brilliant, and really unbelievably insightful and important. Rav Rosenzweig based himself on a very famous chiddush of the Rav, of Rav Soloveitchik. In general, we've been talking about simcha, 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 sukkis, pesach, shavuos. What does that mean, simchas yantif? So again, we don't have time to see it inside, but if you have the time yourselves, it's kedai to look. The Rav, in a very famous essay, had the following insight. The Gemara tells us that someone who's an avelus, Nebuch, some of your families may have had this, I had it with one of my relatives passed away, where you run into yantif during the shiva. Halach is, the shiva, avelus, is incompatible with yantif. Shiva sad, yantif is happy. And the yantif of the rabbim, the wharf, the avelus of the particular person or family, and Shiva is cancelled. That's a Gemara. Soloveitchik asks the following question. What's the conflict? What does an Avil have to do? He has to sit on a low chair. Why can't you sit on a low chair on Yom Tov? what do you have to do on Yom Tov? Eat meat, drink wine? And Avos allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So what's the conflict? The Gemara assumed there was a conflict. What's the conflict? So Rav explained, because the mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Tov is not just about eating meat and drinking wine. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's the actions that it requires. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the real mitzvah, the cha-ching, when we get the mitzvah points, when we fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, it's not the eating of the meat per se, but rather, it's a Kiyum Shebelay. It's more internal. And what's the feeling in our heart that we're supposed to have a simcha? To be, as the Rav put it, Lifnei Hashem. In Pesukim, we read them earlier in Sefer Dvarim, Parsha of Simcha. So some of them, Lifnei Hashem. A person's feeling closeness and awareness that I'm close to Hashem. Obviously, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you really were closer. But it's not about geographically where you are. It's about psychologically, or more importantly, spiritually, where are you? If you're intimate, if you're close, you have a relationship, you feel close to Hashem, you have Lifnei Hashem, so there's no greater Simcha in the world. That's true Simcha. We get there by the way we act. It's an interesting thing. We're not supposed to just go off and meditate on a mountain or something. It's through the eating, it's through the davening, but not just the davening, chasi lechem, chasi l'Hashem. Through the eating, through everything, that simcha brings us closer to Hashem. Avelus is the opposite of that. Because avelus is when a person feels distant. If you're far from Hashem, how could Hashem let this happen to me? How could Hashem do this? And they feel estranged. That is a conflict with simcha. Not about the eating meat or the sitting on a low chair. It's in the heart. Am I close to Hashem? Or am I far? Ad kan Rav Soloveitchik. Said Rav Rosenzweig, that's true by all other Yomim Tovim. That if I feel close to Hashem on Sukkot, I feel close to Hashem on Pesach HaShavuos, Memela, naturally I'm going to be close. I'm so happy. What could be better to be close to Hashem? Rosh Hashanah is different. Not because it's the opposite. Rosh Hashanah is the flip side of the same coin. Rosh Hashanah is the most intense Lifnei Hashem. But when you're Lifnei Hashem and you're being judged, that's a lot different than Lifnei Hashem and thanking God for taking us out of Egypt, for the harvest, for giving us boosts in the desert. The Lifnei Hashem where I know my life is hanging in the balance because I'm standing before the Melech Melech HaMelechim who's judging me, the Lifnei Hashem is the same in the sense I'm close. Either you're close or you're not. That's a fact. But the reaction will be just the opposite. It's the same din. It's Lifnei Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is the flip side of that same coin. The Lifnei Hashem of Rosh Hashanah is complex. But because it's the flip side of the same coin, we could have a complex attitude. We could fast or we could not fast. That's not usually those are opposites. Yes and no simcha. Here they come from the same place. The same reality of Lifnei Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, could lead one person to fast and another person to eat. And it could, and we have a rishus, at least according to some gonim. It's a complex day. In some sense, you can choose what your attitude will be towards it. He had an unbelievable raya mentioned at the end, with this will close. We saw that the Rambam said that you don't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah, we saw in the Mishnah Torah, Ein bo simcha yaseir. That's a Rambam that in every yeshiva and every base medrash in the world, they know that Rambam. What I think is much less well known is the Rambam similarly quoting that halacha, but not in the Mishnah Torah, but in the Perush HaMishnayos, in his commentary to the Rambam. The Rambam says, you know why you don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? Because it's a day, this is the second to last source, you may avoda, it's a serious religious day. Hachna v'pachad, we're scared, we're contrite. Mora, may Hashem, we're fearful of Hashem and His judgment. V'yira mimenu. And then listen to what the Rambam says. This is an unbelievable line. We're so scared, we're mivrach umanos, we're running and we're fleeing. A love. You hear a Rambam? There's no greater simcha than this Rambam. This is a Rambam. This is a treasure, this Rambam. What would the Rambam, what did every one of you expect the Rambam to say? Mivrach umanos, away from Him. We're scared of Hashem. It's an awesome day of judgment. We should run away from Him. That's not what the Rambam says. Mivrach umanos, to Him. Elov. It's complicated. It's paradoxically. We're scared, our lives hang in the balance, and yet we're intensely, we're right there. We got box seats. It's lifnei Hashem. We're running to be close to Him. We're mamish. We're right there. It's lifnei Hashem, but it's a very different lifnei Hashem than the other Yomim Tovim. It's Yirah and Fachad, but not from a distance. It's from up close. And the psukim in Nehemiah, which we said with the raya, the psukim said, eat and be merry. What shouldn't you do? Interestingly, what does Nehemiah not say? He doesn't say don't have Yirah. Doesn't say don't have Fachad. He says don't be sad and don't be a mourner. Don't be an avelos. So I wrote this exactly. Because sadness, mourning, that's distance from Hashem. But Yirah? Yirah is not a contradiction to Simcha. Yirah and Simcha are two dinim coming from the same reality, flip sides from the same coin. When you have an intense feeling of closeness to Hashem, it's exhilarating, we feel happier, our neshama is dancing. But especially when it's on Rosh Hashanah, there's also a sense of the awesome power of the day and fear of judgment. Flip two very different things, but coming from the same source, being close to Hashem. So just to conclude, we'll wrap up. What do we see today? We saw a very important halacha and a little bit of a hashkafa question. What is the nature of Rosh Hashanah? Simcha or not? We saw a number of nafkaminas, eating, the nusach ha-tfilah, hallel, crying, different nafkaminas. And then we saw the fact that there may be some middle approaches. Yes, simcha, but maybe unique. A little less, confidence in din. And this last point, based on the idea of the Salvechik from Rav Rosenzweig, that it could be Lifnei Hashem could have both Simcha and Yira, very different flip sides of the same coin. I look forward to seeing you next week.